Welcome to the Walt Weekly Podcast Special Edition with your host, Walter Latham Sr. and co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs. This edition is focused on New York Fashion Week Fall Winter 2023 season.
Hello, Michelle, and I know you've been busy. I know Fashion Week is on us. Could you tell us about New York Fashion Week this year?
Sure. So this season, we worked on Fall Winter 2023 New York Fashion Week, NYFW 2023 FW Fall Winter. So it was amazing. I actually had fun. I did four shows. I actually work with one of the sponsors, which is Tresemme. They were all in different areas, as a lot of shows can be called off-site or on-site. On-site is actually at the Spring Studios or at Chelsea Piers. Those are the main locations for New York Fashion Week that designers showcase at. But the off-site shows are because people can't afford to be at the on-site ones. Very expensive, and you're limited with your time as well. So when you're on-site, the shows are, you get like 2 hours to prep, maybe 3 hours to prep. And your show is at, say, for instance, if your show is at 3 o'clock, you come in at 1 o'clock, depending on how many models you have. You get 2 hours prep time. The show is at 3 p.m. 3:30, you're out of there.
Ah, okay. So when you say off-site, on-site, all right. Now, on-site would be your, now, could you just explain how that works again?
Yes.
I mean, what would you consider on-site and what would you consider off-site?
Yes, I consider on-site at the locations where the spot, it's the New York Fashion Week is actually held at, which is Spring Studios, which is off of Canal Street and Vesey Street. They have a location there where they have multiple rooms for studios for New York Fashion Week where you the designers prep, you do hair and makeup, and you prep, you dress the models there, and then you go into a actual bigger room for the fashion show where it's actually held. And those locations have multiple rooms to prep, and then they have multiple areas where you can go in to watch the show, the actual runway shows. Those are the on-site ones. Off-site could be like someone's gallery, an art gallery, or they can do it at a restaurant, or they'll rent out a private studio somewhere off-site, which is actually cheaper. For instance, I'll tell you, Sunday I had a show in Chinatown. And we had no, you know, they gave us an address. They give you an address to show up. When we showed up, it was someone's apartment. So this is where we had to prep for hair and makeup, right? So
okay. We're
in someone's home prepping for hair and makeup, and the actual show was done a few blocks away inside of a restaurant.
Oh, I see.
Right.
I see.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So
okay.
That's called like off-site. So on-site is actually where you do it, runway shows at an actual site.
So the hair and makeup, and what about costume changes would be
everything
at the on-site?
Everything is in a main location where hair, makeup, you get dressed, you have your stylist, your makeup team, your hair team, your styling team. So you have a room where you're doing hair and makeup, and on the opposite side of that, behind the curtains, is where the models dress. Then they go to another area where the runway show is. Those are called like the big studio rooms. They're huge, where you can hold 300 to 400 people in. And that's where the runway show is held. But this is all in one location. So those are the on-site ones. I always call it on-site because everyone knows in the industry, on-site is at either at Spring Studio or Chelsea Pier. Off-site, like I said, you could either rent a space out, and you're the only one that's utilizing that space. The on-site ones, multiple people utilizes those spaces, and you only have a certain time frame. So they have a calendar. It's called the New York Fashion Week calendar, right? So they have all of the designers that are listed on this calendar, and they tell you exactly where they're showing. If they're not on the New York Fashion Week calendar, that means they're off-site. These are all on-site areas, and they'll tell you exactly what gallery, because it's one big building, and they have different galleries in there where you prep and you have the shows at.
Okay.
So that's the difference between on-site. and offsite. So onsite, we know, you know, you get kicked out as soon as you, because they have to sanitize the room. You have to get all of your stuff out of there. They have to sanitize the room and get ready for the next hair and makeup team and designer team as well. That's why they make you leave so fast, because you've been in there for 3 or 4 hours already, and they have a clock. You know, there's time.
They actually time you. Okay.
And yeah, there's time slots for each designer to be in and out of there. Yes. So we had some great shows. The first one I did was Friday. That was actually offsite, right? This one was in Brooklyn in Williamsburg. It was actually at the old Williamsburg Savings Bank. So okay. That was interesting. That was Williamsburg, Brooklyn. It was the name of the designer was Rodarte. If I'm pronouncing it correctly, I will have it in the notes as well. Their New York Fashion Week Fall Winter 2023 runway show gave a goth fairy tale theme, like gothic theme. It was dark.
Right, right.
It's kind of like fairy tale. So that New York Fashion Week experience had a vibe. It was a vibe shift that they had for the for Rodart. This is something that was different that I've never witnessed before, a gothic look. The designers were the California-based designers, their sisters, Kate and Laura Molivi, who is also known for tapping into the weird world. So they were weird, right? That's what they call weird, the goth scene.
Okay.
It was very interesting to see, and the hair wasn't too dramatic. It was the costumes and the jewelry that the accessories that made it have a gothic look. So this season, the theme was gothic fairies with glam. And that was taken after an English singer, Suoxi Suox. It was inspired from her. She's like a gothic singer from England. And the hair theme was more like Angelica Houston's, like Morticia Adams.
That's what I would think. Family. A lot of black.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And Winona Ryder from the Beetlejuice. That's what the theme was, the hair theme that they got from that for that designer because of the clothing. The clothing looked like, I forget the name of the movie with, it was like an Ice Queen. I'll send pictures with it because it was just very whimsical, you know, and gothic.
Okay.
Fairy tale like, you know, but the looks were very silky straight. They had, you know, like I said, hair accessories. One young lady, before they even did her hair and makeup, she looked like Frida, the Mexican artist. She had features like her, beautiful, beautiful young lady. And when they finished her, she had the roses on the top of her head, like Frida, the artist.
Okay.
And her eyebrows, you know, were perfect, just like Frida. So it had different hair accessories, different looks. A lot of the looks were silver with black, black accessories, silver accessories, shiny materials. You know, a very whimsical fairy tale theme. That show was amazing. Man. And they had, it was 30 models for that. And we were there all day. We did not get to see the show. Some shows you get to see, some shows you don't, because it all depends on if it's all on the same floor or the same area. You can actually go in, but once this is the first show that I wasn't able to see a show because they said it was upstairs in a different area and it was private and it was invitation only. So we were not able to see it other than the lead hairstylist going backstage to touch up. So that was that show Friday. My next show was in Chinatown on Sunday. The designer name was Alejandra Rojas. The lead hair for that is the young man, Matthew Curtis Hare from London that I always work with. I've worked with him for 12 years. He had product sponsored by Sam McKnight. Usually when you're a hair lead, you have to get product sponsored, product and tool sponsor. Product sponsor meaning to do the hair, to style the hair. Tool sponsor is your, like, your blow dryer, straightening comb.
Right.
And the other sponsor was Olivia Garden, who we've had the pleasure of having on the show before. Their look was simple. Well, you know, sometimes simple could be complex too. It was a sleek ponytail. And then I learned a new technique to do a four box braid. It looked like four braids in one and made it came out into a box shape. And that was an amazing show. It was quick. That was done inside of an apartment. I guess it was an Airbnb. It was very tight, so the whole team could not go. It was only six of us doing hair and makeup. And it was about maybe 13 to 18 models on that show. We also could not see that because it was in a restaurant. The restaurant was very small, so they only allowed, you know, the guests that were there and the small, I mean, really, really small amount of photographers. But, you know, from the pictures, they were amazing. You know, even though I don't get to see these shows, I do get to see the after looks with everyone sending the photos. So that was my second show. I had four shows. So my third show and fourth show was the same day at Spring Studios, thank God. And they were in the same room. So we did have to leave out because they had to sanitize the room for the next show. It didn't matter if you were there or not. They throw you out.
Okay.
And we had to go out and come back in to get credentials for that show. So that show was Cho Chang for Winter 2023. Same sponsors, Sam McKnight and Olivia Garden. That look was a sleek ponytail with a twisted bun. These, you know, they sound simple, but they can be complex. The show was great. The designs were great. The show right after that was Bagley Mishka, who is well-known designer. We actually helped this lead, Peter Gray, to do the show. He needed extra hands-on because it was 40 models for this show. So I've done a lot of models. Actually, the first show that I did on Friday was 60 models. It was 60 models. So,
wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. You know, we have had a big team. I actually only really did for that 60 model count. I only did one hit because, you know, it was a lot of younger people eager to work. So they were snatching up the models before I can even get to them. So I didn't mind, you know, but I did get my hands in one model for that show. But it was amazing. You know, they have a lot of models. And when you have a lot of models, they have different looks, too, sometimes.
Right.
But that one, because it was so many models, they just wanted one basic look, which was great. The 40 model one had different looks. So, you know, they had a group of people doing this look, a group of people doing that look. And we were in there at 11 o'clock, our call time was, but they had to be ready by 2:30, 40 models. So you have a crunch time, right? So it's just backstage. It's not like working in a salon. You know, it's different type of hair, it's different styling, it's different products. You use more products, you have to have like that shine in the hair. You know, it has to be a certain look because it has to be, you know, it's photographed. You know, you don't want to see certain things on film. So that look for that 40 model was a twisted knot bun with a side sweep bang and a pin curl. The clothing I did not get to see. Again, you know, a few people were only allowed backstage. So I would say, you know, I'm kind of like not a groupie anymore. I used to be a groupie where I had to be backstage to touch up and to get my photos and stuff like that. But I'm not, yeah. or to see the celebrity. So it doesn't faze me like that because I've been in the game so long. But doing the hair this season, I did learn a lot of new tricks, a lot of new styles. Working with these leads, Peter and Matthew Curtis on most of the shows was amazing working with these gentlemen. One thing I did find out through Matthew, he was telling me that they're kind of shying away from men doing hair at Fashion Week. And one of the brands, Tresemme, is one of them that's away. Yeah.
Why is that?
I would say because they dominated at one point. And secondly, Tresemme, in my old interview, I did speak about not having versatility on the runway as far as black models were concerned. And also because they did not know how to do their hair. So Tresemme started a new campaign to focus on textured hair. So I took the class last year and I took, you know, like three classes with them. They focusing on doing natural hair because our textures vary. We don't have all the same texture for black hair, right? So if you don't know how to do it, you know, they get afraid. They're like, oh, just leave her hair. It is. It could be nappy as hell, and they'll let her walk on the runway. So they stopped, you know, it was a big campaign about that. They stopped doing that. So now they have it where, because Matthew used to be the lead for Tresemme, And now they only want women, and they want women of color. So, you know, to me, it's like covering up the controversy. You don't want to get any slack for not, you know, catering to black hair. And they have, you know, majority black team. I was surprised. I was really shocked. I was really shocked. Wow. And that's when I realized, you know, all of that stuff that had been going on in the past on the runway and behind the scenes, that, you know, they kind of discriminated against black models and black, you know, doing black hair. But also, you know, they were afraid of it, because sometimes I was afraid of it, you know.
It doesn't necessarily mean
that I know how to do all black hair.
You know? Yeah, you said as much as with the different textures of hair.
Right, because they'll come in with their natural hair, not blown out, straight, you know, the natural texture. And you have so many different textures of our hair that it could be complex to do. You know, and we don't have that kind of time to do that. So we did have one black girl that came in natural. She had an afro, and I mean, she had a lot of hair, but you could see it was padded down. So I had to pick it out. But, you know, the course of her hair was so raw, you know, and dry and brittle. You know, it's kind of hard to do that. So you have to use the product to soften it up, one, and try to make it look neat. So the lead was like, Michelle, just, you know, make the afro look neat. First he said, oh, she can go on like that. I said, no, she can't. Because some of them will be like, oh, let them go on like that. No, you can't do that. It doesn't even look neat. You know, like they're afraid to touch black hair. You know, some artists, you know, Matthew is not, you know, he's always, you know, they call it afro hair in London. So, you know, he's an expert. I wouldn't say he's an expert, but he knows how to do black, you know, textured hair.
Yeah, he's been there, done that. Yeah.
Right, he's been there, done that. So, he, you know, they call it, it's textured hair now, not afro hair. And, you know, UK has different sayings, you know, of hair for black hair is afro hair for them. Here, they're calling it textured hair because they don't want to offend anybody, right? So I did notice this season a lot of versatility, a lot more black models, a lot more black hairstylists backstage. And, you know, damn if you do, damn if you don't, you know, because it's like, well, damn, you know, you have all of these black stylists because now, you know, you got slack for it. So you're bringing them on again. But also you can't just hire anybody. They got to know how to do hair. So I would say the leads that I worked with, you know, Matthew, Peter, and this other young lady who did the Road Dart, the first show, Odile Gilbert. She is well known in the industry. Everybody knows her. She's gotten awards. She's very creative, very articulate with her words and just her craft. She's amazing. She also has a hair accessory line as well. And I really enjoyed working with her. You know, each show that I did this season, I really enjoyed it. Even though it was four shows, you know, and this is the most I've been doing in the past few years. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you the contrast now with, like 2019 prior to the pandemic.
Right. It's picked up. I mean, prior to the pandemic, I wasn't doing a lot. I would say like from 2017 to 2019. We were under a new sponsor, liquid hair product sponsor, and they were strict with their team that, you know, I'm going to call it out. They just, you know, wanted white girls, you know, and I was the only black. I mean, I was the only black this season, but it didn't feel that way. You know what I mean? Like I got like different vibes. I get a different vibe from the lead that I'm working with, and I've been with them for 12 years. They always, you know, treated me like family, but the sponsor that we've had prior to the pandemic, he had to use their team. So he would get me on two teams, even though they didn't want me on the team. You know, it's a certain look, like I said. So we are no longer with them. You know, he broke ties with them in January last year. And when I tell you the vibe is different, it's different. Like, it's, you know, it was more relaxing, more, you know, more learning and teaching and more creativity. And it was just very relaxed season this season. Very relaxed. No stress, and just a lot of fun.
Okay.
And that's like taking it back to when I first started, you know. It didn't, the excitement wasn't there from when I first started because it was just hectic. It's not hectic like it was backstage anymore because of COVID. They don't allow too many people backstage. But when I first started out, you know, you had three or four people, sometimes five people doing one head, and then you had like 20 photographers over your neck.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
They can't do that anymore. So, and it'd be like 1,000 people backstage and you're like trying to squeeze through, trying to get in, fit in where you can. This season, because of pandemic, it changed. You cannot have that many people, but we did have two photographers with us. One came from London with Matthew, and then the other one was brought in by the sponsor, Olivia Garden. They have to have their own media and photography backstage, which was great. We worked with him for so many years. Olivia Garden really did great with supplying all of the tools. It was just great. The product sponsors were great. I just really enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Like with anything, you remember how we used to say, what's the word on the street in financial services? He said, what's the word on the street? So right. in Fashion Week, what was the word on the street this year, this season?
Well, I would say for the season, the looks were basic, sleek looks and different, weird. Like everything was different. Each designer that I saw, that I work with, I didn't get to see any of the other shows, but the excitement of it and the normality, getting back to normal, that was a big thing. Everyone is like, oh, I'm so glad, we're back to normal and just doing our thing. It's not 100% normal, but people were just happy to be out. Happy to be able to show their designs. A lot of shows they did do virtually as well, but the normalcy of it was back. Back. Very back.
Excellent.
Chilled back. Yeah, chilled. Everyone did their thing. It wasn't, it wasn't like the crazy chaos. It was just a relaxed mode. And I think that's what made it so easy. It wasn't dramatic. Being and organized. Everything was so well organized, orchestrated. Even me, Matthew was like, Michelle, you're so organized. I'm like, I don't like to be like rushing when I go someplace. I want to be organized. And, I had to bring all of the products. I had a truck full of stuff for them, and I had it numbered and the designer names on it, just less things that they had to worry about, So the normalcy of it, I think, made a big difference,
Okay. I know you didn't, I think when we did your interview back in 19, I believe, you were telling us how there's a, you got your hairstylist, then you got your makeup. Yeah. All right. And then you got some people that would do both. Yeah. All right. So, but you still just, do your hair styling. You don't do the makeup part.
No. I do grooming, but you cannot do both at the shows. You can only do one or the other at the shows because you can't be in two places at the same time. They have us separate. We're in the same room, but makeup is on one side and hair is on the other side. So when we have crunch time, we will, hair and makeup team will team up on one model just to get them done in time. But no, you can't do both at New York Fashion Week. You have to do one or the other. You can't be on both teams at the same time.
But you do have bring the skill set to do. I know you do hair. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. But if you had to do makeup, you can't do makeup. Huh?
I can't do what they do. It's like being an artist, right? And I haven't done that in so long.
Okay.
I do like men's grooming. I can do men's grooming. I'll do that. I can't say that I'll be the face. That's what they call it on women. I'm not doing all of that.
Yeah, because I know you did a makeup for Tracy Morgan when he was out
men's
here
grooming,
recently.
Definitely, yeah. I do men's grooming on light grooming, touch-ups and, light powder, stuff like that. But all of these dramatic looks that they have, I need training again with that. I haven't done it in so long. I would love to, but, you have so much stuff you have to carry,
Right.
So I don't really have the time.
And you have to be mobile, too. Yeah. You have to go to more than one place.
Right. You got to be ready. You have to be ready.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I mean, it's great. It's great. So yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you had an exciting couple of months. All right. I don't mean to jump off topic, but I want to bring it up because you're more than a hairstylist. You're a co-host of this show. And you had a big write-up in the Staten Island Advance, which documents, you know, your rise and stardom.
You know, that's funny because last night I was at the St. George Theater and, you know, three people jumped on me. They were like, oh, we saw your ad. I was like, you get the paper? They were like, yeah, we get the paper. So the funny part about it was that, you know, it was a virtual write-up first, and a young lady who will grace us with her presence on our next show, Grayson Santos, she interviewed me and it was virtual. It was a virtual write-up. And then she, you know, I asked her, I said, you know, will this go to print? And she was like, you know, I'll put in for it, but I'm not sure, you know.
Right.
And then she messaged me. She was like, you know, Michelle, it made it to print. So, and luckily, you know, it came out last week, Tuesday. And, it's not a coincidence. I'm sure they did it because Fashion Week was coming up.
Okay.
They released it because of Fashion Week, in my opinion. And it was great. I got my copies. I'm familiar with yours. The young lady last night told me, oh, you can call the Staten Island Advance. You can get more copies if you want. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So the crazy part about it, during Fashion Week, actually doing the shows, my first show that I did do, it was with Tresemme, and they said you had to post stories on IG, TikTok, or wherever.
Right.
You know, so I posted not knowing, but, I had to, put in Olivia Garden because I was using the tools, you know, just saying the style and the tools.
Right.
Ended up getting another write-up, which I had no idea was going to happen. And they sent it to me, and I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, amazing.
I want to put the links to, those write-ups in the show notes for this show.
Yeah.
So people, check out the show notes and there will be links.
Right.
It's awesome. And, you know, I want to congratulate you.
Awesome.
Thank you. Great job.
Thank you for having me as a guest again.
Yeah. Now you got to put on your other hat as co-host next week.
I'll put on the other hat.
Yeah, you wear a lot of hats. That's right. Why you're so good.
I wear a lot of hats. I appreciate it.
You wear a lot of hats.
It was fun. I definitely had a good time. At Fashion Week, people were like, oh, can you get me? I couldn't get anybody in. You know, I told them, you got to be on the list. And, you know, I have no connection with that. I used to sneak people in and it's just not happening anymore. So, it's just great. You know, I was at the point, to be honest, that I was going to retire. I was going to make this my last season, to be honest, because I was getting turned off. And when I found out that Matthew was no longer working with that sponsor, I was like, okay, cool. You know, my whole attitude had changed. And then the article, you know, when the young lady wanted to interview me, when the article came out, that just changed my heart. You know, this is what I do. And one, a good friend of mine who we've had the pleasure of having on the show, Kia Sterling, you know, I spoke to her and she's like, you know, Miss, you can't retire. You know, this is like something you do. You love it and things will change. You know, and she, you know, gave me some inspirational words. And the article also kind of changed my mind. So, you know, because I was at the point where I just wanted to do something else, but still within the same field, you know. But I'm glad I did it because I said, you know, I said, if this season doesn't turn out well, I'm definitely not doing next season. And it turned out well. And I was glad to get the accolades. And, you know, when you get these articles, you got to stay on top. You know, it's hard to stay on top like that. So you have to stay
more stress.
You have to stay relevant with it because, you know, that moment that I got the accolades, it'll be gone, you know, in a matter of like days or, you know, hours, just like a story on Instagram. It's just
that 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah, you get that 24 hours. So you just got to stay relevant with the work and keep yourself, you know, at the top if you can, you know, because there's so many fake people posting stuff that it's not real, you know. So I'm glad that my situation is real.
No doubt.
That, you know, I could share it with other people. And, you know, I've been doing it for a while. So, you know, things don't happen overnight. It takes time for sure. Some people are lucky and they just become, you know, big time right away. For others, it takes time. So I'm just, you know, enjoying the credits of the labor. I won't say fruits of the labor because it's not a financial win for me. You know, if it was, I wouldn't have done it this long. So,
well, the thing is, when the train comes into the station, you'll be able to get on because you're positioned.
I'll be able to get on. Yeah. I positioned myself. Right. And I just, you know, want to thank the people that, you know, I've worked with, my mentor, Matthew. And I've had, you know, the pleasure of working with some amazing people. And my first publication from MLM, you know, just building my portfolio, doing, you know, a lot of free things to get me to this level. You have to, you know, pay your dues.
All right. All right. I want to thank you, Michelle, yes. New York's hairstylist and host of the Walt Weekly.
Yes.
And you're one of the top hairstylists in New York. So,
thank you for that credit.
Well, yeah, but hey, we know ourselves. You know, I know you.
Yeah, we know. So, yes.
I just want to thank you. Yeah,
and
thank you
for
the interview.
For my career from day one, even in corporate America. So, I've done it on the side. So,
absolutely.
Go way back, and I appreciate your support and the Walt Weekly support and for having me as your co-host.
Well, you're a partner. So, you know.
Partner.
But anyway, thank you. Looking forward to the fall. And I'm also looking forward to all the great things that we're going to be doing with the Walt Weekly.
Oh, yes.
All right. And thank you again. And this is going to end. And you have a great weekend.